Yep.
Bo Hiss.
And now, the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass.
98.5.
The Sports Hub.
It's prodigious, man, especially when the rest of the conference blows. And your chief competition, the team that has the talent to beat you, which is Pittsburgh, they have the talent. They have coaches getting in bar fights over the weekend. They got all this nonsense. And by the way, do you think the first Pittsburgh game gives Pittsburgh more reason to believe or less? In other words, they could come out of that game and say, well, we had them. We were right there. It was a bad call or a fluky play at the goal line that cost us this game. We had them. We went toe-to-toe with them for 60 minutes. We had that game. We're as good. We're better than them. You could say that, or could you say, we did all that and we still can't beat them? We're at home, we're on the goal line, game's over, and we still can't win that game? We're never going
to
beat them.
I mean, to me, it's the second thing. I said this in the immediate aftermath of the game, that, you know, the blowouts, the 45-3 game that the Jets lost in 20, whatever that was, 10?
Yeah, 2010.
That one's easy to write off. We get smoked. We were never in it. We were never even close. There's nothing to examine about that one. We get our asses kicked. What do you want me to examine? But this game? Oh, God, your head spins. There are so many things you can look at for why you lost the game.
I don't know how you leave that not feeling psychologically damaged.
Oh, it leaves a mark. A game like that absolutely leaves a mark. And then they got to come in here and do it on top of it.
How are we going to screw it up? How are we going to screw it up this time?
To me, if you're going to lose, you'd much rather lose in a blowout.
And I just think Pittsburgh holding their players out of that last game is such a tell. Like, they don't get it. You have a chance for home field, man. And you have a bye. Why is it so important to rest all these guys when you already have a week off next week?
Okay, but they were right.
Ultimately, they were right. But what if they weren't? What's the harm of at least having those guys in uniform? So if case in the second half, things go the other way, Roethlisberger can go in and win you a game if he needs to win you a game. I just think it's unconscionable. I just think it's like, what are you doing? You can't. It's only 16 of them. You can't play 16 of them? Especially when you have a bye? Oh, I think it's just ridiculous. I think Pittsburgh doesn't get it. You know, I don't believe in Pittsburgh. I don't. And the rest of them, please, give me a break. And they've got to come here, and you've got a week of rest, and that divisional game could be a true tomato can. I mean, you could be talking Buffalo again or Tennessee. Double bye. I just think, yeah, I still got all my reservations for Minneapolis. And that being said, that I think all the things that we've talked about, their offensive struggles and the lack of personnel on defense are real, man, real. Real, they're not playing up to the way they've used to played. They're not. Brady's not looking exactly like himself. The offense isn't looking the way we're used to seeing it. And the defense is so depleted, you have to go out and sign a piece of garbage like James Harrison. So all those things are real. But given the rest, the home field, and the field, how do you, meaning the competition, how do you bet against them?
You don't. I mean, I don't bet against them either, but I do look at it and feel like they're more vulnerable than they have been in years past.
To who?
To a few teams, not many. I'm not sure. I mean, in the AFC, it's Pittsburgh, maybe. Maybe. And again, I'm not telling you I'd pick Pittsburgh. And I think Kansas City's a bad matchup for them because Kansas City's got, you know, multiple options on offense to defend. That's all. So do I think Kansas City will come in here and win? Of course not. How could you possibly think that? But I think that they could give them a game. And I think that if the Patriots are playing like they've played the last 5 weeks, that they could lose.
Okay. So that's
just quickly, what was that stat Sosie had? That five out of the previous six times they were the number one seed, they went to the Super Bowl.
That's right.
And so the one exception was the Jets.
And they won four of them. That's right.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't rule out the possibility that this is the second time in 7 years that they don't get to the Super Bowl. Because this team, to me, feels a little like that one. Like, it's not as good as the record.
So, I do rule it out. I do. Because I just don't think there's that Baltimore sitting out there. There's not Peyton Manning sitting out there. There's the Steelers, but I don't believe in that team. I really don't. I mean, think of Todd Haley. What are you doing even going to a bar near Heinz Field?
I'm going to party with these people because, yeah, we got the two seed. We don't want you here, punch.
I mean, you moron. Let's go out at a bar by the stadium?
When you're the man of the people.
When you're the offensive coordinator? Like, what goes through your head? It's that important to get your drink on, man. Go somewhere else. You're going to go into the belly of the beast? Like, that is just dumb. Like John Farrell having a beer at the Cask. You'll be some sort of first-class idiot.
If I were Haley, I'd just have brought a flask.
I mean, go to the
drink
country
in a car
club.
On the way home. Not your own car.
The Uber.
Yeah, call an Uber guy and drink in the back seat.
Looking for an easy lay. Go hang
cab.
With the fans.
So if you call a cab God. In Pittsburgh, the cab driver will drink with you.
Okay, so back to the phones. As promised, our gal pal Mary's in Marshfield. Hi, Mary.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I have a couple points. The Garoppolo thing, I definitely think it was mostly Brady. You could just tell by his body language, his The way he looked at that kid, he wanted him gone. Out of his hair. Stop getting over my shoulder. Leave me alone. You know, just swat him away like a fly. Now, as far as this ridiculous thing with IT, these egos, and these overinflated egos, this is why I've gotten away from basketball over the past few years, and I love my hockey players, football players. You wouldn't see this crap if Bergeron got traded or whatever. Know. You know what I mean? Like,
Mary, you know, just picture it. David Backus is going back to St. Louis. Are they going to run the video or are they not going to run the video? What's my what's your Players Tribune video looking like, David? Like, is there any, and, you know, okay, what about David and Victor? What are they going to say? Are Victor and David, and I don't even know who Victor is. I'm just trying to, you know, Tarasenko. Is Backus and Tarasenko going to dap it up before the game? Are they going to give each other respect or are they not? Like, all these nonsense NBA storylines that we get with these things, like, they don't exist in other sports.
Well, no, you don't remember Blake Wheeler coming in here and won the video? You didn't get that one?
It's unbelievable.
Oh, God, it's asinine. Please, Jay Crowder, I want to be cheered. For what? What'd you do? He didn't do anything. He's a half-decent player for a little while. That's it? He wants to be cheered? Good God.
He hurt Gordon Hayward.
He got his ass kicked by LeBron in the playoffs is what he did 2 years in a row. Oh, he wants to be cheered for that?
But his defense and the contract.
He was nothing before Brad Stevens.
I mean, it is. It's unbelievable, really. Like, the Jay Crowder thing blows me away. At least with Isaiah, there was like, he was a great player here. You know, or very good at the very least. Yeah. Jay Crowder? You gotta be kidding me with that.
Joe in Dorchester on the Bruins here on a reentry Monday on a Tuesday. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. I have to say, Felger, isn't it great this year that we actually have a hockey season where it's a team that's fun to watch? Oh. I can't remember the last time that, you know, that happened. But, guys, I think that it's a lot of it's Cassidy. I mean, you guys have talked about it. When he went to Hudobin, he rolled the hot hand. He wasn't afraid to step on Tuukka Rask's, you know, thumb and be like, you need to play better. What he's doing with these young guys, letting Charlie McAvoy play the most minutes of any rookie in the last 20 years, and also the way that he manages the roster where if you suck for four games, you're going to sit. And, you know, I know that Bjork and DeBrusk, these guys, they sit sometimes, and then they come back, and they got a fire under them. He's doing a great job, and he should be coach of the year, guys.
Well, I don't know about, no, the guy in Las Vegas, I'm sorry, Gallant. Las Vegas has the second best record in the league.
I know, it's unbelievable.
They're an expansion team.
Yeah, and they've played a low number of games too.
So forget it. That's the guy in Vegas. But I should ask my boy Mike in Attleboro if he still wants his boy Claude Julien back, or if he wants him to tank. That was a big one, right? He wants to keep Claude, and then he wants to tank. But Cassidy's made a huge difference. Huge. Let me just give you another two small examples. Here's one.
I'll tell you, DeBrusk is a great point though. They've sat his ass a couple of times.
Sure they have. Sure, they're not afraid. But he doesn't. Cassidy doesn't bury these guys. You know, he sat DeBrusk, brought him back the next game. He benched Krug at the end of this this Washington game, and then he brought him back for Ottawa, and Krug gave him 2 points. So it's like, I feel like when Claude got in your doghouse, and you took a while to get out of there. Cassidy feels like it's just sort of, I'm going to prove a point, now you're back, and now prove me wrong. And so that's a thing that Cassidy's done that I really like. But here's one that just, a subtle one that's great. Where's Adam McQuaid been? Nine! Adam McQuaid's been healthy for over a week, and the defense is playing great without him, and Cassidy's saying, I'm not going to take Matt Greslick out. Greslick has done nothing to lose his spot, and Greslick is in the scheme of things, sort of a nothing. He wasn't a real high draft pick. He's not like a prime prospect. He's just a good young defenseman who's played well. If that were Claude Julien, would Claude have kept Adam McQuaid in street clothes for over a week while Matt Greslick played on the left? I mean, can you imagine Claude ever doing that?
No.
Greslick would be back to Providence faster than the Acela could get him there. So there's one. I mean, that I love that. It's like, oh, God, thank you, because that's what Adam McQuaid is. I love you, and they're going to need him. Perillo made this point last week. It's 100% right. They're going to need McQuaid. If they go into the playoffs, you need all those defensemen guys get hurt. They're going to need McQuaid. So I'm not telling you to ditch McQuaid. I'm just telling you this is what he is. He's a fifth, sixth, seventh defenseman. So if he doesn't deserve his – if there's no room for him, there's no room for him. He sits. There should be no emphasis or no impetus to get him on the ice. But you know if Claude were here, McQuaid would have been in there the first game he was healthy, and Grizzlick would have been in the first bus out of here. And so McQuaid's still out. I love it. Let me give you one more real quick subtle one that I read for Fluto over the weekend. Because, again, I think a lot of Cassidy stuff is subtle. Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak. Just starting with Bergeron. He bases on Bergeron. Through 30 games, according to Corsica Hockey, Bergeron has started more 5-on-5 shifts in the offensive zone than any point in his career. Which is, you know, it's only a few percentage points, but he started nearly 40% of his shifts in the offensive zone, meaning offensive zone faceoffs, versus 35% in the offensive zone last year. And what he's usually, and so that's just a subtle thing where
Cassidy puts him on the ice to get possession of the puck in the offensive zone versus the defensive zone.
To score! He puts Bergeron out there to score as opposed to Claude just throwing him out there in the defensive zone because he's petrified of getting scored on.
Right, it's more aggressive.
It's just a very subtle thing. I mean, you're still putting Bergeron out there against the other team's best offensive players, but you're making sure to give him some offensive zone starts because he's a good offensive player, and certainly Marchand and Pasternak are, and you still have to score to win. So give him offensive zone starts versus all of these defensive zone starts where he's just trying to carve the puck out of there and get out of this. So it's like, that would never occur to you, you know. And me, as much as I watch, like I wouldn't really notice that offensive zone starts versus defensive zone starts. But they log all this stuff, and there's another thing that's Cassidy's doing because you have to score, Claude. So the only thing that scares me is that the Bruins are 12 points up on the Canadiens with two games in hand. You know what a commanding lead that is?
Huge.
It's over. If the Bruins blow that, oh my God.
You realize they haven't played him yet.
No, and they're playing him 3 times in 8 days next week.
Right.
3 times in 8 days next week, where if the Canadiens sweep you, they're right back in it.
Yep.
Which I'm still waiting for that, honestly. And then I'll buy in a little bit more. But if it's at a point now where if you blow this lead, Montreal, and I think Florida might have just crept ahead of Montreal, but it's if you blow 12 points at the midpoint of the season, just about, with a couple games in hand, is like Red Sox Yankees 1970. Like, you can't blow that lead. You cannot blow that lead.
I haven't played him yet.
Okay. I'm just saying
they haven't played him yet.
I'm still, and I want to see Tuukka in those games as well.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
Brady hasn't looked as he hasn't looked like his normal self. I would agree, but there's a lot of holding the ball and patting the ball, and that's because again, I think that's related to the kind of receivers they have right now, which are not his kind of receivers. Fight back to the football, get open short, fight through coverage, and I think that's really hurting him. I think the guys aren't there. They're not there where he's used to seeing them, and so that's just that. And then when you take Gronk out of it, and it's just up to those guys on the outside, it looked like on Sunday.
I mean, which is why he's got to have Gronk or Edelman at all times.
Right.
At all times, you got to have one of those guys. If you know, again, we saw what it looked like in Miami when they went down there and Gronk was suspended. That thing was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. And Sunday, in a lot of ways, wasn't all that different because Gronk wasn't targeted.
Right.
So there's no question that's part of it. I still don't think Brady looks right.
Okay.
That's all.
So back to your thoughts. Here's a couple of guys in Stoneham. Tony in Stoneham. Hi, Tony.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just want to tell you why I've been holding for you. You've been breaking up, and I hear part of your conversation, not part of the rest of it. That being said, I want to tell you, tell Maz and Murray something. Murray and Maz, I think you two did a phenomenal job when you ran the show a couple of weeks ago, and I bet your ratings are right, way up there. As far as the Patriots go, Pittsburgh Steelers cannot beat them. It's like the old-time baseball games when a pitcher like Koufax or something throws his glove on the mound, they're going to win that game no matter what happens. That's what the Patriots are with Pittsburgh. The one team they're going to worry about is Kansas City. And the last thing is Harrison is going to make a major issue in a good positive way in these playoffs. I know you don't like him. You got a personal vendetta against him, Folger.
How about you? How do you feel about him?
I feel he's an excellent pup.
He slapped his wife around. His pit bull almost ate his 2-year-old kid. You like him?
So you don't want to play a guy because he has an issue off the field?
No,
just like you complained about this guy having a fight the other day. That has nothing to do with football.
I'm not sure about the fight. I'm not sure what you're talking about. The fight the other day.
You just said some guy had a fight. One of the coaches.
Yeah, Todd Haley, that idiot. He's going out drinking next to the stadium after a game? You moron. Tells me all I need to know about that guy. James Harrison? Garbage.
No, I just love what I always love with these kinds of moves is that, you know, Patriots are trying to say that they operate on some sort of different standard.
I'm not I'm done going there.
Okay, that's always a good one, really. Again, it tells you the level of desperation they're at right now in terms of talent and where they are in this season. The last couple of guys they brought in are Kenny Britt and James Harrison, for crying out loud. Harrison's past is well documented. You just rattled it off, and Kenny Britt has been arrested, I think, 7 times.
So, but and none of Britt's
Kraft were, shot him down 4 years ago, whenever it was.
So that's an interesting point that he didn't pass the line 4 years ago, but now he does. Like, it tells you again how desperate they are. The James Harrison thing, you all agreed with me. Then 5 days ago, I asked you about James Harrison. You said I can't stand that guy. Want nothing to do with that guy. I don't want anything to do with James Harrison. James Harrison. You all would say the same thing. I want nothing to do with that guy. Now he's here. It's like, oh, he's going to make a big play. Like, so pathetic. I know fans are fans, but come on. Like, try just a little bit. But who knows? He probably will make a play. But I'm not sure what I was going to say on James Harrison. But anyway, I didn't like him before. I didn't like him now. So that's the difference between me and you as it relates to James Harrison.
Well, just real quick, like, I don't like him either, but there was obviously a need there. Didn't it already look different? I mean, Bilal Powell's a pretty decent running back. They couldn't move the ball at all on the ground. Granted, they can't throw it either, but it did look a lot better with him out there.
I mean, if you're telling me he's better than Eric Lee, whatever, what do they have out there?
Trevor Riley, Eric Lee, yeah. Any of these guys. He is.
He will. He'll help them because he's better than what they had.
Yeah, you know, I'd rather beat James Harrison. That's a guy worth beating. That's a guy worth getting the better of versus having to root for. I got to look at that guy for 3 hours on Sunday?
Yeah, but it's a Belichick move, Felger, because he brings in a guy he hates because he doesn't care because all he wants to do is win.
God. Here's Ray and Revere. If any other team signed James Harrison, the Cowboys signed James Harrison, what would we say about the Cowboys?
They have no soul.
Typical Cowboys move.
Morally defunct.
Right. They brought in Hardy, right? Greg Hardy, for crying out loud. Same type of animal.
Or if the Ravens signed Harrison, what would we say? Typical Ravens.
Yes.
Bunch of criminals.
Right. Same type of character. Is that, you know, you'll bring in anybody because you don't care.
Ray and Revere. Go ahead, Ray. What do you got?
Hey, Michael, I'm with you with Harrison. Hey, listen, man. I don't like the way Kraft is allowing this team and this management infrastructure to be picked apart. I go back to the Garoppolo trade. Belichick has drafted 10 quarterbacks while he's been with New England. 8 of them have been anything from journeyman to stiffs. And he's got one with the 199th pick, which is a unicorn. And he's got this kid who can be the guy. And I think he's smart enough to realize that it's literally a stroke of luck that you find the guy. And this idea that he couldn't pay both for a little while and run a little rich when he's been running it lean forever, it's just bad management. You know, they've gone from the second least valuable franchise in the league to the second most valuable franchise in the league on the strength of winning championship. And if you want to ask John Henry about apathy, that's where they'll end up. The ratings are down in the NFL across the board. If you end up with a marginal team here, people won't care.
Yeah, let's not go that far.
Thank you.
They're not going to all of a sudden like disappear over this decision. The league's too popular. They're too popular. That's not going to happen. But to me, again, this flies in the face of the way they do it. They broke their own rule. And not only did they break their own rule, they broke it at the worst spot. They let all these guys go over the years. And all the Patriots fans want to say, well, this is what they do. They're smarter than everybody else. This is how they do it. They're smarter than everybody else. Fine, no problem. So then you get to the most important position on the field, and you don't do it? How do you explain that one? Just because he's Brady? So again, now look, maybe I have no emotional attachment to athletes anymore. If it came down to me, and ultimately I had to pick between 10 years of Jimmy Garoppolo or maybe 2 more of Tom Brady, I'd take the 10 of Garoppolo. I would. More importantly, I think Bill Belichick wanted to take 10 years of Garoppolo, and they told him no.
I just don't blame the team for not paying him $24 million to ride the bench. There's not another example in the history of sports where you had to pay someone like that to hold a clipboard.
Okay, but again, just because it's never been done means you can't do it?
I'm just saying. I don't think it's... That's a... I'm not criticizing them over that. I'm not. I think they made the wrong call, but it was an exceptionally hard call and a close call. And the thing about paying him on the franchise tag, and again, I'm not talking about the cap. I'm talking about the real money. It's a lot to ask of an owner.
Okay, so again, I'm not. To me, this is not a question of whether, you know, well, so you think they're cheap? No, it's got nothing to do with being cheap or being excessively loose with your money. It's not a matter of either one of those things. It is that when you're in a circumstance that is unique, and this was unique. This was extremely unique. You do things that are unorthodox. And to me, there's no more important position in all the sports than the quarterback. If you got the guy, you find a way to keep him. You figure it out.
Real quick, the fumble numbers are in. We talked about this. Jimmy Stewart looked these up. So these are according to Jimmy Stewart's research. The last 3 years before Deflategate, the last 3 years after Deflategate, they played exactly 54 games in each of those 3 years, Jimmy. That times out perfectly, right?
And that includes postseason games.
Okay, including postseason, right? So including the postseason, what's 3 times 16, Mess?
48.
Okay. Just making sure we're right here. So they played 6 postseason games in each. Does that sound right? They would have played less or more? I'm not going to question it too much. Okay, the 3 years going into Deflategate and the 3 years going out of Deflategate, each of a 54-game sample, according to Jimmy Stewart's research, going into Deflategate, they fumbled offensively 62 times. In the 3 years after Deflategate, 58 times. They have fumbled less. They have fumbled less since they fully inflated the footballs. See, Patriots fans, why were you so worried about the sample?
I want a bigger sample.
You're winning the sample.
The other thing is the numbers took a turn this year.
So they were up. The fumbles were up the first 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Last year they fumbled 27 times. 27. Am I reading that right, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's correct.
They fumbled 27 times.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of fumbles this year. All of a sudden is the lowest of the three, which leads me to believe that maybe the ball possession protocol before the games has been altered once again.
How do you go from 27 fumbles to 13 fumbles?
Garoppolo and Brissett were, I think, 5 of those fumbles.
Well, there's a very, very easy explanation for how you go from 27 to 13.
No, but anyway, this is being fair. You're fumbling less on average over the 3 years than the 3 years going in. I said 5 years, so we've got 2 years to go. But so far, you're winning the sample. So what are you afraid of, Patriots fans? Embrace the sample. Here's Murray's update. Stop it.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
You know, Bill, when he looks at this thing, it's okay to admit that you made a mistake here. Because just taking a second-round pick for this guy, if everybody would have known right now, like, okay, and I get it. Belichick doesn't need him because he's got another pretty good quarterback, and it's not Hoyer. The Tom Brady guy is decent.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I know for a fact there's AFC teams that were willing to give a first and a second-round pick for Garoppolo. But to Belichick's credit, he's like, hey, no, let's get him to the NFC. I don't have to face this guy and all that. So I can get a little bit. But I think he's exceeded maybe even Belichick's
Well, let's be honest. Recently,
if that meant sending him to the Jets or the Bills, let's just assume that's who Rex is talking about because he's still, you know, probably his friends in those organizations. Would you have traded Garoppolo to the Jets or the Bills?
Yes, because I don't believe in him, but Bill didn't because obviously Belichick believes in him. But and that's why he didn't.
So you would have done it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, a lot of these young quarterbacks, they come back down to earth. Look at Derek Carr this year. He turned into a pumpkin after having a near MVP season last year. Maybe that's injury related, but the same thing with Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. They came back down to earth. So Garoppolo has looked good. But either way, they screwed it up. Either you believe in this guy the way that Maz and I think Belichick did, or he screwed it up in what the return was, the way I look at it. The timing doesn't make sense, and the return doesn't make sense. Because you know how horny some of these GMs and teams are for what they think is the next great quarterback, the white whale. If they thought it was Garoppolo, they could have got a first or a second or a couple of firsts. You screwed this up.
They whiffed. They whiffed big time. They whiffed colossally. And again, forget what I think of him, of Garoppolo, I mean. Yeah, big deals. Lots of players I think were going to be good that have sucked. You know, Bill Belichick has forgotten more football sitting on the toilet than I will ever learn in 15 lifetimes, for crying out loud. Right? So there's no even comparison to be drawn there. Belichick thinks they screwed up. Belichick does. Belichick didn't want to trade the guy. So forget. So that's what I look at. Belichick thinks they screwed up. I happen to agree with him on this one. And I look at it and say, you've got to be kidding me. You operate under a certain premise or standard or protocol the whole time you're running on the franchise. Long term. We think for the long term. We let guys go a year too early versus a year too late. Your coach believes it and you believe it. And in fact, there's great synergy there. That's why you hired the coach in the first place, because you both had this understanding of what worked. So the coach does it, you nod, it all works, and then you get to the most important position on the field. The most important position in sports, and you don't want to use the same philosophy anymore? I'm sorry, I don't get that.
No matter what.
I think that's ass backwards.
No matter what, just don't try telling me what they've told us since they made the deal. Oh, well, the time had come. There was nothing we could do, and this was the best we could get. No, no, it's not. That's absolutely not true. There was more than meets the eye with this thing. So what was it? Is it like Maz says, and I typically believe this, you know, he wanted to move on from Brady this offseason, Belichick, and he wanted to keep Garoppolo, and he was told no by ownership, and I understand that. Considering it's Brady.
That's great. We have an organizational core philosophy, but on the big decisions, we're not going to adhere to it. No, that's good. That's a brilliant way to go about it. Excellent. On the
Who
really
wants to
big
be known
ones,
as the people that moved on, if even we're talking about ownership here, that moved on from the greatest quarterback of all time when he was playing at a high level? I know it's an extremely difficult decision, an almost impossible decision.
I know, but Maz is treating it like it was an easy decision. So that, like, I have some empathy for the Pats. It's a hard decision. I would have gone Garoppolo, but that's asking a lot, Maz. You understand?
I understand it's asking a lot. I'm just telling you that part of the reason they are who they are, at least if you want to believe the toadies that want to support everything they do and say, is that they will make the hard decisions. So I just think I have far too much respect for the whole process of finding a great quarterback than to look at this and say, no problem, just draft the next guy. Piece of cake. No big deal. All right, fine. Great. So, but if you're going to shove that philosophy down my throat over 20 years or 18 or whatever the hell number it's been, you're going to shove that philosophy down my throat, then it comes to the most important position on the field and you're not going to adhere to it? Well, then forget it. Everything you're saying is garbage.
So talk about pressure now on Bill. He found the next guy. He had it. He had him. Now he's got to go do it again. Oh, now he's got to go do it again. You know how hard that is?
Or he walks.
Oh, he walks, Jim. That's a good one. But presuming he's staying, and I'm going to presume that he's staying, he's got to go do it again. That's really, really hard. Really hard to do.
It's hard to do once. It's hard to do once.
Of course. All right. We'll wrap up with your phone calls before we hit the final word. Carol in the car. Hi, Carol.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I appreciate your sports nerdiness. That's the first thing. And Anthony, seriously, Kansas City, Eric Berry is gone now. And they have Alex Smith as their quarterback, and Andy Reid as their coach.
Agreed.
Game over.
No shot.
Game over.
I'm with you, Carol.
No shot.
No.
No shot whatsoever.
No shot.
And did I just hear, I almost drove off the road. Did I just hear Jim Murray say Marvin Lewis got a contract extension?
That is correct, for 2 years.
No, that can't be right. Is it because the Red Rocket or the Red Rifle, whatever his name is, threw a 4th-and-12 pass to some guy and got a touchdown? They beat the Ravens? Are you freaking kidding me?
Good job, Carol. Thanks for the call.
I like Carol.
He's been there 15 years.
Second longest tenured coach in the league behind your guy. And I think putting Marvin Lewis in the same breath as Bill Belichick makes perfect sense, don't you?
No, exactly. Yeah, I mean, let's just do lots of things that are stupid today.
0-8 in the postseason. Is it 0-8 or 0-9?
Either way, he's winless in the postseason, and isn't the primetime record something ridiculous, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, something absurd. Yeah,
I don't know. I think all that's coincidence.
Here's Joe in Rosendale on the Bruins. Hi, Joe.
What's up, boys?
What's up, Joe?
It's good to see your little rat face back in the studio.
Yeah, appreciate that, Joe. I'm sorry I can't see yours.
I know. You don't want to see mine. Listen, I love all these Tuukka-esque white knights coming out of the woodwork screaming, you know, what now?
Where are exactly.
Where are all the Tuukka-esque haters at? Blah, blah, blah. Listen.
They're right here.
Up, you losers. You clown shoes. If they make the playoffs, if they don't have some epic collapse at the end of the season, I cannot wait till the playoffs. When put a diaper on this guy because he's going to diarrhea all over the place. It's going to be poop city. And guess who's the mayor? Tuukka-esque, baby.
Thank you, Joe. Mayor of Poop City.
I like it. Oh, yeah. That's good.
That's just outside of Craptown, by the way.
Crapville. Dumptown.
That's just a township, so I don't know the actually have mayors. I think there's a city council there in Craptown, though.
Maybe we'll go with the county.
No.
Crap County.
Here, can I just see Tuukka Rask beat the Canadiens? I'll start with that. You have the Habs 3 times in 8 days next week. Are you going to hide him? Like you still have to protect Tuukka against Washington. He doesn't get those games because the mayor of Craptown soils himself when he sees Holpe across the ice. What's he going to do with Carey Price in Montreal next week? That's what I want to know, Maz.
And they had the Caps beat the last game, too.
Oh, they sure did.
I know Tuukka wasn't in there. But
no, because they had to protect Tuukka. They had Hudobin, who was phenomenal in that game, by the
way.
He
was good.
We've got Corey and Baldwin. So what is even more perplexing than Marvin Lewis is Hugh Jackson in Cleveland. Go ahead, Corey. What do you got for me on that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. It's nice to see you guys back. I'm besides the Marvin Lewis thing, I cannot believe that this guy is 1-31.
1-31.
It's unbelievable.
That I mean, I can almost understand Van Joseph with, but really, I mean, the greatest thing he did was let Sergio Dip narrate 30 seconds of his life. But I am absolutely, you could let Sergio Dip run the Browns. I think he'd have a better turnout than what, I am absolutely amazed. I just want to see what you guys thought of that.
I don't know what to think. Like, what's the plan? Is it springtime for Hitler in Germany? That's the producer's reference. Like, you're purposely trying to tank. Like, what are you doing there?
You got me. They got the two of the top four picks, right?
When you have the first and fourth pick, wouldn't you want someone with a new set of eyes or ideas to make those picks?
It's staggering.
It is. 1-31.
So the same outfit that passed on Carson Wentz on, well, everybody.
Deshaun Watson,
Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, name it. They passed on him. They're still there. I mean, they blow out Sashi Brown, the GM, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to have a new GM. But either way, the 1-31.
If Hugh Jackson goes undefeated the next 2 years, he'll be 33-31. And I just looked it up. How would you like to be the loser who lost to Hugh Jackson? How would you like to be that guy, Mike McCoy? Huh? Mike McCoy? Your team, you're the only guy ever to lose to Hugh Jackson in a football game. He's 1-31, and he beat your ass. How do you like that? How do you like them apples? And, oh, sorry, you were on the road. I thought you were home. You were on the road, so I'll give you that one.
Okay, Alan Stoneham, quickly, what do you got?
I got two solutions for the wide receiver problem. First, we should clone some of the great defensive backs we've had and stop drafting wide receivers and go after the most vicious defensive backs that are out there. They know how to cover patterns. They know how to intercept them. We got guys that we're just wasting our money on.
Okay.
You're talking about it all the time, like they're non-existent. Or just get like seven running backs that know how to catch.
Okay, Al. Thank you. I'm not sure if I'm totally in on his plan. I didn't quite get it, frankly.
And there goes the worst coach ever.
They just re-signed him in Cincinnati for 2 more years.
No, really, they got winners in the state of Ohio, don't they?
Final word is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do. Like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Oh, nobody, Jimmy.
All right. We have three pieces of sound in the final word here today. Had a little conversation about the college playoff game last night, very exciting game between Oklahoma and Georgia. Baker Mayfield came up, and then this guy went at Maz about Baker Mayfield.
Mike in Rhode Island, Baker Mayfield, you want him or not?
Before I get to Mayfield, I just want to say, where would the Niners be if they got Garoppolo earlier? You know, they lost to the Seahawks by 3, the Rams by 2, the Cardinals by 3, the Colts by 3, and the Redskins by 2.
Mike, weeks
five of their first 6 games, they lost by a total of 13 points.
Weeks 2 so through 6, they lost by... Never mind. Go.
Go, say it. You've got to say
weeks
it
now. Weeks 2 through 6, they lost by a field goal or less every week. Okay, weeks 2 through 6, they lost by a field goal every week. Less than a field goal. Go ahead.
Now you talk, Mike. Go ahead.
So, you know what? About Baker Mayfield, Maz, you couldn't be more wrong. No quarterback stock has risen more this year. The guy from UCLA, Rosen, stocks went down. The guy from USC,
Darnold.
Went down. Baker Mayfield, and you guys are talking about him getting him at the end of the first round. You're dreaming. He's going to be a top 10 pick.
No, he's going earlier. I just did it for debate purposes.
No, that's great. Yeah, no quarterback stock went up higher because everyone else's went down.
Well, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, everyone sucked this year, so now all of a sudden this kid's the flavor of the month.
But that'll teach you to try and engage these people. That's what I'm always trying to say. You have to treat our callers like zoo animals. You walk by them and look, and then walk on to the next one. You don't actually engage them. You don't go back and forth with them because you can't. You tried to interject a little bit of knowledge into that, and he just wasn't having it.
No, he had to give me every opponent that they played during that 5-week stretch. Instead of just saying, 5 weeks in a row, they lost by a field goal or less. See that? I did it in like 5 seconds. Not even. Less. Nice, succinct, right to the point. Or you could just say, suck, 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 suck. What, that works, too.
Tuukka Rask named the NHL's number one star for December, proving the doubters and carnival barkers wrong, according to some on the Bruins beat.
Mike in Rhode Island, Baker Mayfield, you want him or not?
What's happening here? Stupid computers, work right. Here we go, let's try again.
Okay, all right, so I don't think he's, you know, and again, this is a little bit on the guys that cover the team, because they're, you know, they're doing their thing. You can see this coming.
Where's all the talk of trading him now?
Kevin Paul Dupont on Saturday. Rask won a perfect 25 for 25 in net Saturday in Ottawa for his second shutout of the season, 40th of his career. His recent numbers are astounding. 10-0-1 in his last 11 starts with only 14 goals allowed and a .953 save percentage, which should quiet the talk radio carnival barkers, hosts and callers alike. So that should quiet the talk radio carnival barkers. Hosts and callers alike. Who do you think he's referring to there? Talk radio carnival barkers, hosts and callers alike. Hosts. Who do you think he's talking about?
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to trade Tuukka Rask. Trade him, I say.
Is there a bigger, is there a more classic case of
how do you like him now? Well, I guess Rask doesn't suck.
If you've watched every game, as I have, he's been going. Most nights he makes the saves he should make. Sometimes he makes a few more. Like this Ottawa game. Okay? If you watch Ottawa on Saturday night, he made a couple saves early that were great.
So, I'm sorry. Does that make me a carnival barker? No, no. I mean, I'm the barker. Murray plays the music.
Right after the bearded lady performs, and you'll see a man on a bed of nails, we're going to talk about trading Tuukka Rask. Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Tuukka Rask. Dupont says, that should quiet the talk radio carnival barkers. Win something when it matters, Rask. I'll give you a little...
That was fun.
No,
Maz does really own the barking.
Dad, I know you're watching. Just think all those years of tuition, and now I'm barking like a dog, Dad. There you go. Hope you're listening, big man.
Call of the day also came from Fred in East Boston, who wanted to get something off his chest about Jack Edwards, apparently.
Fred in East Boston has a Bruins thought for us. Go ahead, Fred. Fred!
Hello!
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Fred.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Now it's time to speak, Fred. What do you got for us today?
I'm talking about Jack Edwards, who I think is the worst that I've ever seen. As, you know, the announcer for the Bruins.
Yes, I know.
You agree?
No, I think he's different. He's certainly different, but I don't think he's bad.
Well, he's talking stupid.
Okay, you can't say that, Fred.
No, he's not the one that talks stupid poop.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.